Good afternoon. My name is Neil Martin. I'm a test manager in Windows Server. So first of all, I'm going to start, and I'm going to talk a little bit about protocol documentation. But really, what I want to talk about is a network analysis tool that we have called Message Analyzer. And I'm just going to really show it off a little bit. So there's a few caveats. This tool isn't finished yet. We're heavy encoding, and I've been trying to figure out which build I should use, because every time I took a build, the last few days it crashed. So I'm crossing my fingers, and I hope it doesn't crash while I do the demo. But it proves this is a live demo and no fake if it crashed. So I apologize if I crash and burn in the middle of this. That's likely. So let me put this up here for a moment and just talk a little bit about first of all, the interoperability and tools group. You've heard a bit from a few people here. Basically, our group's responsible for a number of things, but the really key bit I want to talk about is that all of the Windows client operating system and all the Windows server operating system have kind of a lot of protocols. And if any of these network protocols are proprietary, i.e. they're Microsoft specific, we document these and we publish these to the web. If you go and use your favorite search engine and just look for Microsoft Open Specifications, you'll find that we published something like 450 protocols. You see there's a URL there. It's easier to use a search engine to get to it than try and remember that. I can't remember that. So I doubt you guys will. But so we publish all these protocols. So it's all very well saying to you, you know, if you want to implement, say, a file system protocol, go get the protocol document. The problem is some of these protocol documents are like 800 pages long. They're big documents. They're complicated. So, you know, you go and get a document, you implement it, and now you need to debug it. And that's really what this talk is about. Can I ask a question here? Has anyone in this room ever used Wireshark? Anyone? What? One? Only one? He's my hero. So, Wireshark is what we call a network analysis tool. And the tool that I'm about to show today is also a network analysis tool. And basically, I hope nobody's typing passwords into their phone today, because I'm about to capture traffic on the network and you're going to show me your password. So put all your passwords away now. Okay? Or we'll make a looking at them in a minute. So basically what network analysis does is imagine, you know, two computers are talking to each other. There's all this exchange of information that happens sort of out of sight. And it's pretty complicated. I'll show you an example in just a second, but that's pretty complicated stuff. And really, you need good tools to figure out what that traffic looks like, break it down, analyze it, and check if it's correct. Now, I raised the thing about Wireshark just because it's an open source tool that people can go and get. Message Analyzer is free as well, by the way. We don't charge money. The catch is the world's changing really fast. Ethernet was one place that we used to do a lot of network traffic, but there's a growth in, like, there's Wi-Fi, there's USB traffic, there's Bluetooth traffic, there's all sorts of different things happening now. And the tool that we have allows you to do capture. Say, if you're working on Bluetooth, you can do captures of Bluetooth and analyze the traffic. You can do the same with USB. And that's part of what I want to show you. Just the backdrop. So the business we're in is trying to encourage interoperability with Windows operating systems. We have this strange terminology. I don't know if you've noticed. If you work for Microsoft and you say Windows, it means Windows client operating system. And if you mean server, you always say server. So it's kind of weird, you know. Everyone probably thinks of it as Windows. But we make a difference because there's two different teams. There's a big bunch of people that do the client operating system. And there's another bunch of guys that do the server operating system. But it doesn't really matter which operating system it is. Lots of network protocols. And if you want to interoperate with them, it's a pretty complicated business. So part of what we do is, I say, in encouraging and helping, we write test suites so that we can test the protocols. We give these test suites away. If you come to PlugFest, like this sort of event, But we hold them in Redmond. We have big labs where you can come in. You can plug any software that you've written in, connect it up, and try and exchange messages with Windows and see if it works. So let me, I have a bunch of things that I'm going to talk about. I'm going to do a bunch of demos, or try to do a bunch of demos. We'll see how they go. But just before I do that, I want to talk about some of the things that are going on in the world that are a kind of problem for people like us that are trying to make network writing easier. First of all, traffic. What are networks? I've got 10 gig a second here, but actually 40 gig a second is quite common these days. Now, you think about 40 gig. Yeah. 4 gigs, I like to think of 4 gig as a DVD movie. You know, you think 40 gig per second, so that's, you can transmit 10 DVD movies per second across the wire. That's a lot of data. And you know, if you're the software guy that's writing the protocol, if you make a mistake and your data's going at 40 gig a second, that's a pretty big pile of mess. And it's all wrong. So that's a pretty big challenge. If you do what we do and you make network capture tools, so what you're trying to do is capture the traffic and analyze the traffic, 40 gig a second is a pretty big problem as well. Is, you know, first of all, where do you put 40 gig per second? You know, you need a pretty big disk to put 40 gig a second, and it needs to be a pretty fast disk as well. So that's kind of a problem. First time I ever tried one of these big network things, I'll show you in a minute. I discovered a design feature that we hadn't thought about. We have a start button and a stop button. And the distance between the buttons actually really mattered, because when you click the start, the data comes at you so fast. The time you move the mouse to the other side and click stop, you'd filled up the hard disk. So that's a kind of interesting challenge just in itself. So that's one of the things, fast data. Big data, fast data is a real challenge if you're in the network protocol business. And as I said earlier, there's other things going on at the moment. You know, capturing network over USB is becoming much more common. And oh, you're not hearing me. Oh, okay, sorry. I need to stand near the microphone. So USB traffic is interesting. Bluetooth traffic, you know. I don't know if anyone stands at the airport and plays the Bluetooth game, see how many different phones you can connect to. But again, I'm going to show you a little example of that. So just the different types of transport for networks is now kind of a really different game from what it was maybe 10 years ago. And then there's just increased complexity. People are clustering computer systems. There's just data centers are getting bigger. There's just increased complexity, and it's hard to deal with. Security is another thing, security concerns. And the trouble with security is it encourages people to write encrypted protocols, which is great if you care about security. But when you're trying to debug a protocol, encryption's not kind of pretty unhelpful, because now you can't see the details of the traffic. So all of that's a kind of challenge for us. And the tool we're working on, we're trying to deal with many of these things, and that's really what I wanted to show you. So I'm just going to skip out of here at the moment and show you. So this is Message Analyzer, and I'm just going to do, literally, I'm going to initially just do a little capture at what we call the NDIS layer. Think of the NDIS layer as a API into a network card, okay? And by the way, I have no idea what I'm going to get here. I'm just on the Wi-Fi network in the room. And I will capture some traffic. And you're like, so there we go. You just click it and you'll see that there's a lot of traffic going on. I'm just going to stop just so as we can have a little look. Now, one of the things Message Analyzer allows us to do is allows us to manipulate the data much like you can in Excel. So I'm just going to say group here. And now we get a different view of the same data. We get to see that there's a bunch of traffic. And literally that was a very small snapshot. And you can see, you know, if you read down the list, you can see there was some HTTP, so somebody was messing with the web. There was DHCP, So there's computers looking for network addresses. There's NetBIOS, there's various security, and of course there's TCP and UDP and things going on, okay? And that was just a tiny little snapshot that I did. And so, of course, that was, as I say, a really small and simple example. If you're trying to analyze something more complicated, like a file transfer, you would be a lot more complicated. I'm just going to open here a piece of traffic just to show you. So this is a much bigger network capture now, and this has involved some file transfer. I'm going to make it a little bit bigger because I'm a bit worried with the resolution. But first of all, I'm going to filter on the file transfer protocol. And if I say filter on this, and immediately I get to see only the SMB traffic. And I'm just going to tidy this up a little bit to make it easier to look for us to look at, because I want. Now I'm going to go in here, this is Wireshark, and I'm going to open the same capture file in Wireshark, which I just want to try and show you some of the things that we now do differently from what used to happen in older tools. So you can see this shows you, this protocol starts off by negotiating. It actually negotiates the version that it wants to talk. So this is traffic between a client computer and a server computer. It might be between a phone, or it could be an Apple and a Windows box, or Linux and a Windows box. They all speak this protocol. So you get some negotiation, we get some TCP retransmission here, and then we get some actions taking place. I want to scroll down a little. There's a whole bunch of retransmissions here. And let me scroll down. I want to get down to this point. Let me just mess with Windows at this point. And I just want to show you that if you see in here, I hope it shows up, the bit where it's showing there's encrypted traffic as well, okay? So that's just showing you that what I was doing at the time was I read some files off of a Windows server that has an encrypted file share on it, okay? So let me just put the size back down to. And I'll come back to that encrypted part in a little bit. But what I wanted to show you was that in our network tool, unlike Wireshark, in Wireshark, every message was an individual point. What our tool does is, you see the blue and the green, the blue ones are actually groupings of pairs. See how for every blue one you have here, you get, see how when you get two messages. So if I open up the blue icon, I get two messages underneath. And so what Message Analyzer does for us now is, when traffic arrives, and you think of what network traffic's like, it's mostly what we call client-server protocols. A client makes a request, and a server responds. And what the tool now does for us, it gathers these two together and puts them in one place so that it's paired up. And that's what we call pattern matching, if you like. We call these virtual operations, that two things happen together or logically mixed. So we group these together to make it easier to understand the network traffic. So whenever you see a blue icon, it's telling us that we've combined a client request and a server response together. There's other things we do here. I just reading down here, there's this column that is elapsed time. And that effectively tells you how long a particular part of the operation's taken. Now, if you're an IT guy and you have a server or some machines and they're going slow, that number is probably pretty important to you, because if you're trying to figure out why the machines aren't working properly, being able to go and see which part of the protocol is taking a long time really helps you figure out, you know, what is it that's wrong with my network. Yeah, this is the same sort of thing. Exactly the same thing. Yeah. So it's not that this is a unique tool, but it does a lot more. And I'll show you some of the other things that we might do for you. So one of the things I'm just trying to, sorry, I've lost control of my mouse here. When you see on here on the screen now where it says transform, so that's actually the encrypted file that we saw on the other. And Wireshark says it's encrypted. Message Analyst says it's a transform packet. And if you go and read the protocol document, it explains some details. So you can map that to a document. One of the things I can also do now, and I'm just going to open a file and I'll explain this to you, but wait for it to load. No, that's not good. I told you something would go wrong, it just did. I can't do much about that right now. So what I wanted to show you and just explain to you is when I say capture, one of the things we allow you to do is, it says, if you see the thing there, it says SMB server header only. You know how I said to you that if we have 40 gig a second, we have all this data, and it's a kind of problem. But when you look at network protocols, there's usually this tiny little bit in the protocol that is the header, and then there's this great big bit that's the payload. And what we actually do is we throw the payload away and only capture the header, okay? So that means that the data you capture is much, much smaller. But if all you're trying to do is analyze your protocol, you end up with something much, much simpler to look at. Let me be really daring now, and I'm going to close these. And I'm going to try another. I want to show you a couple of the other traces. So. I'm just going to try USB traffic, you know? So I don't know how my machine's plugged in, it's got USB. I'm hoping that maybe, oh, there you go. I moved my mouse around, my mouse is plugged into the USB port, and now that allows me to capture USB traffic. Now, you can go out and buy what they call USB analyzers. I don't know if anyone does USB analysis, but USB analysis tools are quite expensive pieces of equipment. Now, this is not as good as buying the expensive piece of equipment, but it's better than nothing. And so it kind of, if you create USB equipment at all, then this helps you debug your devices and things without having to go and spend lots of money on expensive equipment. So the kind of scenario we have here is, you know, you've got guys working in a hardware lab on USB, you probably have one or two of the expensive USB network analyzers, but you also have this, and you can use this, work out if you really have a problem. If you really have a problem, you can go and know that you need to use the expensive analysis equipment, okay? So that was just a little example there of USB traffic. Say no to that. In a very similar sort of mechanism, I'm just firing up here, this is firing up the Bluetooth adapter. At this point, we have this thing in Windows called ETW. I just want to talk a little bit. ETW in Windows is called Event Trace for Windows. If you think of it as a really fancy debug log, you're not very far off. The difference between writing debug messages and Event Trace for Windows is it's very regular. It gives back XML structured messages rather than just any old text message. So, the thing I want to just try now is if I say start analysis, and I'm going to have a little fiddle here with my HTC Windows phone, and I'm going to try and pair the Bluetooth with my laptop, okay? So in theory, hoping well. hoping that I might get some traffic. There we go. Hey! Okay. So my tooth paired, my Bluetooth, I've paired my phone with Bluetooth, and now, and you can kind of see some of the traffic. I don't know how well you can read this stuff, but you see, like, for instance, that message there actually says connection complete. Okay, so it's, you can see that you can capture the Bluetooth traffic. So again, it's not a high-end piece of analysis equipment, but if you know, if you're working on Bluetooth equipment, it's a kind of nice, easy way to do a bit of network analysis. Okay, so. So let me jump back now. Back here. And talk through. So just some of the things we've got. We have pattern matching. And that was the green and the blue I showed you. We have protocol validation. Now, I didn't really show you that, and I'll come back to some things. So just to explain what that is Wireshark was what we call a dissector. When it sees network traffic, it breaks it down into its subsections. But it makes no judgment on whether the dissected traffic is right or wrong. Message Analyzer will actually tell you, if you've written a protocol, whether your traffic, and you should send 12, you've violated the protocol. So it will actually validate the traffic going back and forward and tell you if you've got errors explicitly. So it makes it much easier to debug. I show you data capture from multiple sources, so we can capture from a lot more interesting places. We can capture from USB traffic. We can capture from Bluetooth. Capture on the traditional NDIS. Now I'll just pop out and I just want to show you one other type of capture we can do, and this is what we call the web proxy. And so this is for people that are interested specifically in HTTP traffic, if you're doing kind of web traffic of some form. Hold on. Definitely did something wrong there. Web proxy start analysis group. So just to show you that it's live, and we've got Manchester United winning the English League here. So I'm just refreshing this page, and then if I stop and come back here, and you can see immediately that this is a whole lot of HTTP traffic. Similar, it's exactly the same as I showed before. Messages are grouped. So there's a request to a server, and there's a response back. Grouped together for you is a nice message. I can say things like this. A filtering language here. I'm just going to say contain JPEG and see if I can find. That wasn't very nice of it. Sure, there must be one JPEG in here somewhere. Oh, wait a minute, I did it wrong. I meant to put user error. Have you heard the acronym PICNIC? Problem in chair, not in computer. It's a polite way of blaming the person. If I filter on that, so I'm saying, go find me traffic with images. And I'm hoping that if I walk through. One of these must somewhere have an image for me. Please, have an image somewhere. This must be an image here. I'm definitely having a malfunction at this point. See now, so this is interesting, is what I'm getting. I don't know if anyone here is an expert on HTTP protocol, but what actually happened is my data's cached because I'd actually been to that website before, so I'm not actually getting the images back. So I'm gonna try once more and see if I can, but what I need to do is I need to go in here and I actually say, delete everything in your cache, go on, go away. Let me try again, and then I'm gonna say restart my traffic, and then I go back to my website and say, refresh my website. And then, find my filter. So I'm hoping maybe I might get lucky this time. Ah, here we go. Look. And you can actually see, so not only does it capture the traffic or render the images for you, so is that, there you go, there's Mr. Ferguson being very pleased that he's won another football title. But you see, it helps with the debugging, so not only does it capture the HTTP traffic and eliminates all the other traffic for it, it also helps you by showing you the payload that you've brought back using HTTP, so that it's easier to debug the messages that went right or went wrong. So just again, so we've seen we can capture USB, we can capture Bluetooth, we can capture from the web, we can capture from NDIS. We even have one extra place that you can capture. Now it's not kind of as much fun to look at, but we'll show you this anyway. There's a thing called, in Windows, we can capture what they call the Windows firewall level. And the advantage of doing this is that if you capture on the NDIS layer, pretty much all traffic could potentially be encrypted. If you capture the filtering, you're kind of higher up the network stack, so some traffic might be unencrypted there. There's also other things you can do. You can capture traffic on a loopback adapter. For those of you that know networking at all, localhost 127.0.0.1, traditionally you couldn't capture on that. And I'm just gonna start an analysis grid here. Gonna open a command prompt. And I'm just gonna go net view localhost. And it shows me the network shares and things, okay? And if I go in here and stop that, I'm just going to group my traffic. I'm going to go to, and I'm hoping, and you'll see here, in fact, it shows up as, you see in here, you'll see that the source address shows up. It's actually an IPv6 address. But it shows that it's coming up from IPv6 address 1, which is the local host. Now, the thing that's kind of fun about this is that if you're a network guy, you can actually do network capture without having any cables or any Wi-Fi. You can actually do network testing on a local machine without having any connection at all, which is, you know, you can be sitting in the airport doing your network debugging and not connected to anything at all. Okay, so again, it's just an extra tool that makes life a little bit easier. So the version I have here, we don't have that in it, but we can do that. So we have an operation that you can basically say, you name the machine, and you have to have credentials for the remote machine, okay? So you can say, that machine over there, start capturing and send it to me here, okay? And so it'll start to capture data, and then it'll transfer the data to you for analysis. So yes, we can do that. And that's a kind of new facility as well. There's a few other things we can do as well that we haven't done in the past. We can store the data in a database. So rather than saving it in a network capture file, we save in a database. And one of the advantages of doing that is it allows us to do analysis afterwards. You know, if you're an IT guy that's looking after a company network and there's kind of problems on it, You can do a whole lot of network captures and stick it in a database. Then you can come back later and do analysis on that database to see if you can figure out what's wrong and what's right. Okay. In fact, our Microsoft's own customer support center guys are doing exactly that model. They collect data from all sorts of places, put it in a database, and then sort of analyze it to see if you can figure out problems. Yes, sure.
Could you share with us the use case of analyze our multiple source of logs?
Yes. I was coming to the, but yeah. So one of the other examples and things we can do with Message Analyzer is, right now everything I've showed you was one log file, okay? But actually what I can do is I can load multiple log files simultaneously into one place, okay? So let me just try a little example of that. So one of the things I can say is if I say browse and I can say add files. Now, as it turns out here, I have that. This is, unfortunately, this trace was going wrong, but I'm gonna add it anyway. If I just wait a second. If this doesn't work, I'll try something different. But basically, the idea here is you get data from two places. And so the kind of classic example, if you come back to the remote example, is you make a capture from the server side of the process and you capture from the client side of the process, and then you can load the two up and analyze the two simultaneously. Or maybe it's something different. It's like, for instance, in Windows, we have the event log that logs all sorts of problems. And this tool allows you to load an event log and a network capture in together. So now you can look at the event log and you can look at the network traffic intermingled. And then you're hoping then that you can see some sort of error in the event log and find the network error that corresponds to that. This is not what, I think I finally hit the challenge here. While that's not working, let me cheat a little bit and I'm going to flip over here. I have another version running in a hypervisor. And I'm just going to try to load just as an example. It's probably not. Yeah, that example is not going to work then. Yeah, I'm probably going to struggle here. I'm going to be impatient and just kill it. Excuse my impatience. So let me just try once more to see if I can get this to work. Let me just run it as a node administrator. I think the problem was there. I tried to load that capture file that was corrupted for some reason. So I probably picked a really bad example. But I think I have some other good examples here. So let me try again. So we say browse, say add files. And in fact, I have a system event here and a thing. So let me just, so I've got two completely tinned. So the EDTX file is a Windows event log. And I've got a network capture as well. I'm hopeful that this one might work. But basically what's going to happen is I load logs from two sources. And I have these bars on here that allows me to control the timeline. So can you imagine if you've got a bunch of data from different sources and you know that something's gone wrong and you know roughly when the thing went wrong. So I've got these two. I've got the SMB traffic in a system event and it's showing me a time filter. And what I could do is I could say, oh, show me that period only, and I say view with the analysis grid. And I can come in here and give it a second and it'll process. So now it's processing. And actually what I'm going to do is going to group one module here, just so as I can see some idea of what we're seeing. Okay, so there, I'm not seeing the Oh, here we go. We're not done loading that switch on. Oh, here we are. The event log data is here. Okay. So this is a Windows event log, and it's showing things like, you know, there's a Windows update waiting to be installed and various things. So, but does that answer the question you were looking for? So we can read text logs, we can run load system syslogs, we can load Windows event logs, we can load network captures, we can intermingle them all, and then we can correlate. Usually we correlate by time. Usually people have some idea that something went wrong at a certain time. But if you have other correlation mechanisms, you can use them as well. If you have some unique identifier, for instance, Windows has this thing called unifying number. So if there's a number of things happen at different layers in Windows, we can actually correlate them all together with a unique identifier. But if you have multiple sources, time is usually the thing you have to work with.
Yeah.
Okay. As I say, so just showing there, we can import other ETW events. Let me just come back a little bit to EDW events. So built into Windows, almost every component in Windows has the capability to write ETW events. And there's a bunch of what we call providers built in. And Message Analyzer has the ability to read data from almost any of them. Now, some of them are quite well-behaved and some of them are not so well-behaved. The well-behaved ones have what we call a manifest that is really like a schema that explains how to understand the data. And when we load these, that Message Analyzer makes use of the schema and can then decode the data properly. Some of the other ones are not so good. But that mechanism is how we read the network traffic and the other traffic. We read these ETW logs, and it helps us debug things. We showed you these. So we've done a lot of work in bubbling errors up to different levels, trying to make it as easy as possible to observe the errors. Let me just come out here again. Go back to the. I just want to find a network packet, and I wanted to show you some of the other things we've done that's different. I'll take HTTP as an example, and I just want to click on here. So traditionally, when you look at network tools, it shows you that in a different order. So if you just click on the packet, it shows you how that packet was made up. And you see there, the packet was HTTP. It's made up of a bunch of fragments that have been put together. But you can see that that traffic is running over TCP. That TCP is over IPv4, and it shows you all the way down that actually the traffic was captured over Wi-Fi. Okay, and actually cap file just shows that it was, the cap file is our file format, and then it says, well, it was stored in a cap file, so it came from a cap file. Okay, so it allows you to see the makeup of your data packet as well. I don't know, let me just see, if we pick one of these SMB packets, I just do something different. Really the same thing. It shows SMB2 is transported by SMB over TCP, TCP over IPv6, and then it's stored in a cat file. You can download the tool and you won't need to take pictures. You can make your own. It's actually pretty easy to do. Yeah. So let me just sort of sum up. We've done a bunch of things. So we've done this header-only capture, USB capture, Bluetooth capture, so-called NDIS layer traditional capture. We can do the firewall capture now. I've not talked about it at all, but we have our own language for writing parsers. So if you have a protocol and you're interested, it's actually very easy to write your own parser. Okay. So and you can add parsers. The parsers in the tool come in text form. The language is kind of C-sharp-like. It's really C-sharp with additions for network decoding, so which makes life. So we're really love for you to go and have a go. And there's a link there that shows where to get the beta from at the moment. We'll be doing a full RTM release later in the year, probably June, July time frame. But we would really like you to go download it, try it, have a play, give us some feedback. We're still working on it. You know, so if you're into Bluetooth, USB network, or web traffic, please go have a shot. Okay, thank you.